the OTB Podcast Network.
Welcome back. It is time for television. Sue Murphy, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very well. So what are we looking at this week?
More grimness. The Underground Railroad is on Amazon this Friday. I got to see, they actually sent me the entire series, but I could only get through the first episode because it's tough going. I don't know if you know the book. It's Colson Whitehead. It was a Pulitzer Prize winning book. I actually haven't read it, but it's meant to be absolutely amazing. So I think there's a lot of fans that are going to come to that would be really disappointed if it's not faithful to it. But it's based on the idea of the network in the South that was trying to get slaves out just before the Civil War. And this one is based on Cora, and she's trying to get out of a plantation who has a really violent and horrible owner. And she escapes with her lover, friend, and they basically end up on an actual Underground Railroad. Now, it was only meant to be a metaphor. It was called the Underground Railroad, so it didn't actually exist as a railroad, but they actually have a railroad in the first episode. This is really tough going. I had to actually close all the curtains in the room where I was watching this because it's so dark. Like, it's a lot of it takes place on the plantation in really dark rooms. When they get to the railroad, it's obviously pitch black. It is like, it's kind of hard to be able to see what's going on because it's so dark. And it is very dark content. So you have a really violent plantation owner that, like, at one stage is having lunch with his friends. And in the background, there's a man being whipped who is then set on fire. And it's like, they're not afraid to go there. They will show you, like, if you know, when you're watching something, you're like, they're not going to show me that, are they? No, it'll just show it to you. And it's directed by Barry Jenkins, who he directed Moonlight and If Beale Street Could Talk. This is honestly really, really, really good TV. Like, it's excellent. It's probably one of the best things I've seen on Prime. But I have to warn people that if you're looking for something that's kind of escapist and you want to sit down and spend, like, I mean, life is grim enough at the moment. Mm. If you want to get away from stuff, it's very difficult to watch. I mean, there was no way I could have gone on to the next episode straight away. I really, the end of the first episode, I was like, need to just take a minute after that.
Right.
There's no let up for the first episode. And that's intentional. And that's the way it should be, that you're dealing with something, obviously slavery in the South, which is a very difficult topic. But it's brilliant. Really good.
Barry Jenkins is obviously this genius. And I get the sense that he is very selective about what he does. I know he's a producer on this as well, so this is something that he's obviously put his heart and soul into. This is going to be, like, this looks really exciting, this whole project. As grim as it sounds and as grim as the picture that you paint it is, this looks like it's going to be possibly the television show of the year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of them. Like, he's so passionate about the work he has. And I think that came across in Moonlight as well, because Moonlight was kind of like this really slow moving film, but you really identified with that character. You were really rooting for him and it was tough going for him. But he really got that across the screen. He's really wants to bring these black characters to the fore and to raise these issues. Like, he went on this rant a couple of weeks ago about how he's sick of listening to the white gaze, or how white people look on black people. He was like, why aren't we talking about the black gaze? He's so passionate about his filmmaking, and I'm just a huge fan. I'll definitely watch the rest of this, but I think I'll actually take it very slowly. It'll be a week by week kind of thing.
Right, okay. But it's all out right now, 11 episodes on Amazon.
It's on Friday. Yeah,
on all Friday, sorry. Out. Brilliant.
Yeah, 10 episodes.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. I was thinking 11 was a bit odd. Next one up, we've got, are we going with something else new next?
Yeah, Domina. And I don't know if you watched, did you watch Rome? The one that was HBO?
I know the one you were talking about though.
Yeah, it's actually, it was one of those ones that we should probably do is a go back and watch, because I loved Rome. I thought it was really, really good. And sometimes it's really hard to get those series right when you're dealing with kind of historical stuff, and they become very concerned about how things look as opposed to how the drama is playing out. And they did it really well because it came from the viewpoint of the soldiers. But this one is coming from the viewpoint of women in Rome. And the cast is kind of virtually unknown. So I was like, ooh, I don't know how this is going to go, because a lot of the time they seem to fall into this trap of, let's do a load of sex scenes and let's do a load of killing. And you're just like, okay, but there's other stuff that's happening in Rome that's kind of interesting. And they've nailed it here a little bit, because It's all about Livia Drusilla, who became the wife of Augustus. And she is smart. She's a real smart cookie. And she is on the outside at the start of it after the death of Caesar. Her family are looked on really badly. She loses all of her property. And she's basically trying to worm her way back into Rome and ends up marrying the top guy. And it's actually very good because these women are often ignored in these programs, but they were really clever, sometimes really manipulative. And I think they really get that across. But if you're looking for something that's just like a little bit escapist, looks great. I mean, the sets and everything look absolutely fantastic. I actually recommend this because it's not as good as Rome. So if you're looking for Rome, just go and watch Rome. But it's still pretty good for what. Like, I really was surprised that it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Does Liam Cunningham play the lead?
He's the dad. So he kind of, I won't go too much away, but he's dead in the first episode. So he comes to her a lot in flashbacks and how she remembers him. And he's a huge influence on her life. And that's actually true to life as well. He was a huge influence on the real Livia. But how they set up Rome and how Augustus became that leader is fascinating stuff. It's really, really interesting.
Right. It's actually been a pretty good few weeks for television, it seems. We kind of all thought that the pandemic had put the halt on everything, and all of a sudden we've got all these new shows coming out. And is Sons of Sam new?
Yes, that went on to Netflix, I think it was last week. I hadn't actually checked it out. I don't know if everyone else is like, I'm getting a bit fatigued by the true crime stuff, and I love true crime. I think that's probably the problem. I've listened to 140 episodes of Case Files, so I think I'm at the point where I'm like, probably just need to take a step back. But this is, like, if you know about Son of Sam, it's David Berkowitz, but they basically said that they don't think that he's solely responsible for all the deaths that occurred in New York, which were just random shootings of lovers in lovers' lanes and just random attacks on women. And there was this fear that kind of gripped New York. But what I really liked about this first episode is that they really got across how crap New York was in the 70s. Like the high rates of crime, how crap it looked. Like, you know, we always have this kind of like, I don't know, kind of like a grow for New York, but they really get across that this wasn't a nice place to live in the 70s. And then you have the fact that this serial killer is just randomly shooting people on the streets. So it actually is a really good setup. And I loved all the New York detectives with the great New York accents who are explaining the case. That's really good. I just don't know if people are just getting a bit tired of, okay, I've seen a lot of this. But the actual center of the story, it's a journalist called Maury Terry who was convinced that he wasn't the sole guy who was responsible for these murders. He's a really interesting character. And I actually want to see what happens with him because he seems to be a bit of a forgotten part of the story, obviously, because the bigger story is the serial killer. But yeah, it's good. If you're into it, if you're a bit sick of those things, I'd probably give it a break.
Right, great stuff. There are three really good suggestions. I dare say the fourth on our list of new things to watch may not be amazing. I know you haven't watched it yet. It's called Oxygen. I'm looking at this now. It's a 6.4 on IMDb. I have not seen this either, but the description on IMDb, a woman who wakes up in a cryogenic chamber with no recollection of how she got there must find a way out before running out of air. Has she considered maybe opening the door of the cryogenic chamber and walking out and leaving the facility?
She does consider that. I actually watched the first hour of this last night and I turned it off because it was like, this is too claustrophobic. And I think for like all of us being stuck in our houses for the last year and not being able to go anywhere, it's like to watch somebody stuck in a chamber for an hour was like, I just can't. Like, I can't take this right now. But Melanie Laurent plays she's the only person on screen and she is brilliant. Like, she's a really, really good actress. She was in Inglourious Basterds. And this is Alexandre Aya. He directed Crawl. I don't know if you saw that a couple of years back. He's very good at like fun horror. So I think if you like Buried, if you liked Phone Box, like, I think it's a real measure of an actor or actress to be able to hold an entire film just being in a box or in a phone box or something like that. So she's excellent. It's grand. It's just not brilliant from what I've seen.
Right.
But I've watched the first hour and I do want to go back and find out what happens. So.
Yeah, it's Oxygen, actually, to give it...
Oxygen, yeah, it's French.
French, yeah. An hour and 40 minutes, so not completely unworth your time, I'd imagine. 6.4 at the moment, but we'd love to hear your reviews of Oxygen, if you're watching it. A couple of things that we might have missed, Sue. Russian Doll,
they're actually looking at bringing out so this was recommissioned for a second series in 2019, and because of COVID, it got put off. So the second series is coming out here this summer. Natasha Lyonne is the main character in this, and I absolutely love Natasha Lyonne. She's Nikki in Orange is the New Black. She has this great like New York accent and New York attitude, and she's just like a very New York themed week. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, to her executive producer on the show was Amy Poehler, and the two of them have, she wrote and directed this, and she's the main character. And basically she goes to this party that's been held in her honor for her birthday, and she ends up dying at the end of the first episode, but then comes back to the party and she ends up in the bathroom in the party. And it's weird. There's 8 episodes in this. So when you're watching it, and I binge watched it, by the way, I watched all the way through, you just hear the same song over and over again when she picks up, and you're like, oh my God, I'm starting to go mad. Like, and it is actually a very good way to watch it, because you just experience what she's experienced, the pure frustration of, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep ending up in this bathroom and dying? And there's one scene, and I think this is the 3rd or 4th episode, where she goes absolutely demented and starts killing herself, like throwing herself off stairs, trying to figure out why this is happening. But she is great. Like, this other characters that are in it, but it's mostly with her. Like, she must be in every single scene in the entire series, and she just holds the camera the entire time with that great accent and that attitude. And I really enjoy it. Like, it is a binge watch. You will just go straight onto the next episode. Like, I did watch it in a row. Like,
brilliant. Sounds great. Russian Doll. And then finally, we check in on what you're continually watching at the moment, but you're just rewatching Line of Duty, it seems.
Yeah, I know. I've gone back. I'm on series 3 now. So we started watching, because when we're getting to the last episode, I was trying to figure out who everyone was and how everyone connected. So we've gone back to season 1, but we didn't make it past it. So now I'm on season 3. And like, I still think it's one of the best TV shows ever. I just absolutely love it. And you see more. You see, like, when you understand who the people are that are involved, and you go back and watch it again, you're like, oh, I didn't notice that the first time around. That's very clever. Mm. So it's definitely worth a rewatch. I just love Line of Duty so much.
Has the finale gone down well? Has it been like universally applauded?
No, it's really like a lot of people are really disappointed. I think people expected more drama in the last episode. Like, I was listening to Shrine of Duty, which is all I do at the moment, but they were saying that like there were opportunities for it to be dramatic and they didn't take it. And the actual points that they talked about in the final episode, you're like, oh yeah, I could see how that could have been more dramatic. But it was kind of like, oh, that's it. And I think a lot of people felt deflated by that. I actually really liked the ending. I thought it tied it up really well, but I can understand why people would be really disappointed. I don't think it's finished though. I think they're going to be back with another season.
Yeah, that'll be, like, there's definitely going to be some sort of mad PR push or some great stunt when Line of Duty comes back in a little while. So plenty of time to go back and watch it is what you're telling us, and we'll be ready for whatever the next season's going to be. Sue Murphy, as ever on a Thursday morning, thanks very much.
No problem at all.
Sue there with our TV picks, as I say, after 9 o'clock every Thursday. We get you geared up for what's on television if you want to take a little bit of break from the sport. Right, this morning we have had a pretty cool prize to give away on OTBAM. We had 2 Mighty Ducks jerseys with thanks to Disney Plus to mark the new series, which has been released exclusively on Disney Plus, which is called The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, which does sound class. As you can see on screen there, a couple of the jerseys, and it got us thinking about some of the greatest underdog stories in sport, and we asked you who this was.
I want to pay a pizza, but my players doesn't want pizza. Maybe they don't love a pizza, because I said, when we make clean sheet, I pay to everybody a pizza.
Turns out there is a lot of Mighty Ducks fans out there. We had hundreds of entries into that competition. Congratulations to David Keating and also Paul Dolan. You both guessed correctly. That was, of course, Claudio Ranieri early in that historic Premier League winning season. David had WhatsApped in with his answer to OTB 0879 180 180. Save that number in your phone and WhatsApp us for the next competition. OTBAM live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.